This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Oh dear, welcome here at the Christian War Room. Yeah, that's enough of that. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. That was from, let me just check this out, The Fifth Dimension, and it was actually from 1969, so that's a very long time ago, but this is how far back it goes. Now, we are in the Christian War Room here, and we are looking at stuff like this, like the dawning of Aquarius, and what does it really stand for, and what did this song sort of entail, what did it sort of call in? We've got the 60s revolution, we've got the, you know, alternative movement, let's get free, let's, you know, throw off all these things which were holding us captive for all these generations and look for new ways, and we get stuff like this coming up, you know. And I was just listening to the text, and it talks about crystals, it talks about the constellation, it talks about Jupiter, the moon, it talks about harmony, and it's all these interesting, very strange, weird stuff, very new stuff, and they hail in the age of Aquarius, the new age. Okay, now we are talking today about New Age, and in particular how New Age has affected the church. And I thought this is something very important to consider here in the Christian War Room, and is something we need to get our head around. To give you a couple of stories, what makes this quite relevant. A good friend of mine, some time ago, went to a Christian yoga class, yeah? And it was all organized by a church, and therefore it seemed to be all kosher and good, and it's just a little bit of stretching and a little bit of doing this and that, but it depends on the, as well, I mean, the stretching bit I'm sure is not the biggest problem, but there's something else within yoga. Yoga is a technique to awaken the kundalini, the serpent power inside of you, which according to Hinduism is at the bottom of your spine, and if you do it right, it'll come free and you experience some sort of liberation as the snake coils itself around your spine and gets hold of you. So there's some very spiritual, strong spiritual component in there. But what we do is we find more and more of this stuff going into the church. And that's what we are looking at the Christian War Room. And again, we are not necessarily giving you all the answers in half an hour, and it's a time would not permit. But what we want to do is encourage you to get involved and to do some research, to create your own war room, and to find out what is really going on. What is going on in your community? What is going on in the churches around you? You know, are there sort of weird things taking place? Another thing which sort of made me sort of get into this talk, this a big movement, a big youth movement, and you know, and I've seen this before as well. I've been around the block once or twice, and I've seen a lot of stuff going on in Christianity, and that's the reason why we are discussing it today as well. But what I saw was that one big youth prayer kind of set up in the States. I don't want to sort of dive too into it. I leave it for you to find out, to pray about it, and to do your own research and to look at churches who are really bad, and churches where the whole new age stuff, the whole new age philosophy, where this whole new age bloody blah has been adopted in an effort to boost numbers, or maybe by people who have lost any sense of real spirituality as we can find it in the New Testament. And they're looking for something new, and they're just sort of taking a nice brush, you know, paint, brush it all Christian, and then it's okay, it's fine, it's acceptable, and nobody says anything. So we need discernment to see what is going on. Otherwise, we are inviting evil spirits who give us doctrines of demons, and this is a scripture taken from the Bible. Paul talks about this, doctrines of demons, which come into our churches and lead us astray, lead us away from God. And this is something we don't want. We need to be close to God. We need to get to know our Lord and Savior on an intimate, on a personal basis, and not, and we can only do this through the Word of God and through opening our hearts to Him. And not through, you know, spiritual techniques, which are suggested by these guys. Now, there's one place, it's in Kansas, and if I say this, you may, you know, you may have heard about them. The headquarters are in Kansas, and a lot of young people go there, and their worship is a little bit like a Hindu dance, you know, people swinging around, and they do the hokey pokey, and they move their arms about, and it's almost like a mix between an aerobic session or some Hindu dance ritual, and then people get into some sort of trance, and that's all supposed to be the Spirit of God, and then they have got people who come, you know, give witnesses and testimonies, and some people they've got like almost like seizures. I don't know how to describe it. They stand in front of the microphone, they twitch, and they cannot control their physical, their bodily motoric anymore. And they give some testimony. Some of the stuff sounds very bizarre. What you know and what you can see is they surely had a spiritual experience. There was surely something going on. But the big question is it from God? Is it not from God? Now, I put it to you that if you twitch like having a seizure, it's unlikely to be from God. If you cannot be coherent anymore, and the things you say when you give a testimony or a witness, again, I would suggest to you that that there are some big question marks, and that discernment needs to be there to really find out what is going on. And as a church, as Christians, we are called to do this. We are called to test the spirits. And this is what the Bible says to us. The scary thing is obviously I never want to do this if God is doing something and it looks weird to me. I mean, I'm not the standard. The Word of God is the standard. Yeah. There's no question about this. I'm not the standard in any way whatsoever. And obviously I would never ever want to declare, a work of God as not being from God, effectively it being the sin against the Holy Spirit. This is something which we need to shy away from. But on the other side, if there is an evil manifestation pretending to be the Spirit of God, we need to test the spirits, and that is what we are told in the Bible. What the Bible tells us, yeah, we need to have discernment to see what is from God and what isn't. We have got tons of warnings in the Bible of crazy stuff taking place, of false prophets and false teachers. And again, we need discernment. And the pretty much the plumb line we have, or the measuring rod, or the, how should I call it? The measuring rod, the plumb line, the spirit level, yeah? You know, to see whether something is straight or not, or something is crooked, because it might look straight to us, but really, once you put your spirit level on it, you can see straight away the bubble goes to the right or to the left, and you can see it's not straight. Yeah, it's not straight. I give you one example. I was working on a project, and that was sort of some emergency transmitter I was building. And I had to fit several components into a box, into a wooden box, and, you know, tie them all together and make it portable. Yeah, so that's the whole concept of the emergency transmitter. And as I was, I had the plans, yeah, but I don't have a workshop, a proper workshop, so I had to do this in the yard, and the yard slopes. And anyway, I was building that thing, and I was, you know, putting the box together, gluing it together, knocking some nails in, screwing, you know, the sides and the back and the front, screwing it all together. And it looked strange to me, but then I applied a spirit level, and it was well out. It was well out. And that was just my perception and the reality, which is there, which is with the spirit level. So there is a big problem. Yeah, you know, there was. I mean, the box, by the way, it's not straight. I put it together. It was too late. I couldn't do anything about it. And it kind of looks okay, but if you look very closely, you see that it's a little bit lopsided. And it doesn't testify to my construction skills. But to me, again, it's a good illustration. You know, what may seem right to you, when you take the measure, you know, the spirit level, and the little bubble moves to one side or the other, you know straight away it's not right. There's a problem. There's a big problem. You put it on a straight surface and it's leaning to one side or whatever. And this is the word of God to us. This is the word of God. We need to take the word of God and measure everything we see with the word of God. So not with your emotions or whether you think it's right or whether it looks right, but to really see, you know, is this really in the word of God? And can we find a precedence in there? You know, in the New Testament, to some of, you know, the stuff that's going on today in the churches, some of the manifestations which we find in the church. Do we find a precedence in the Word of God? Where does it come from? When did it start? What is the fruit of it all? You know, whatever is claimed, does it really happen? Does it not happen? And Jesus says, you know, there are many false prophets in Matthew 24. And he says, look, you shall recognize them by their fruit. And that's what we need to do as well. So there are a couple of standards we can apply and we can use to discern what is really going on. Okay, we are talking about New Age. Now, if I say to you New Age, the first time I heard about it is about 30-odd years ago. When I was a Christian, I went to a very traditional, very conservative church where I think I was probably the youngest by a difference of about, I don't know, 40 years or so. I don't think in that church there was anybody under 60. I was 16 at the time, 16 or 17. And it was quite a revelation to me. And there was this young, dynamic preacher. I mean, he was probably not 30, 40 years older than me, probably only 20 years. But there was this young preacher, and he was talking about New Age. And I never heard of it. I never heard of it at the time. I didn't know what he was on about. Yeah, I no idea whatsoever. And I was sort of into all sorts of stuff. I was in the, before I became a Christian, I was in the occult, you know, the 70s scene, you know, with everything that comes with it. I was delving into it and embracing it wholeheartedly. But I never knew that it was New Age or that it had anything to do with New Age. I was in the, you know, the environmental stuff. I was in there, the Mother Earth stuff, yeah. Again, I just lapped it up, never thought about it as being New Age. And then suddenly this guy came up and told me all the nasty and horrible stuff about New Age. And what is it? And it's the same today. I mean, if I ask you, what is New Age? And or you wanted to find out what New Age is, what would you do? Where would you go? You know, there isn't like the New Age Association in your town or the New Age Club or whatever. There may be today, and there's more of it around. But it's very, very hard to really put your finger on it and to see exactly what New Age is. Okay, let's have a look. I mean, unfortunately, we've got Google today, so you don't need to go to the local New Age Association, if there ever is one. But when I talk to people, and when I talk to a lot of people who are not Christians, and I try to find out, you know, what makes them tick. Most of them, they blurt out some New Age bloody blah. And then they down Christianity, you know, as being obsolete and the reason for all wars that have ever been fought, being violent, wicked, and so on. Yeah, you hear all this stuff being regressive and not really being relevant anymore because all this stuff is better. If you Google New Age, the first page which will most likely come up, I mean, obviously it's these days different with every computer, is maybe Wikipedia, and you've got a massive article, really, really long on Wikipedia, and it, you know, talks about the modern Western spirituality. And it's something which has come, you know, broadly from the East, you know. So we've got Hinduism. We've got all the crazy cults which are going on in India. under the name of Hinduism. And Hinduism is just a collective term of pretty much anything. Anything goes. You know, how many gods you have doesn't matter. Anything goes. It's a little bit about mind, body, and spirit, you know, the whole holistic approach where you need to cater for everything. And again, nobody can really put a name to it. And then we've got another term which comes into there, which is esoteric. And there are lots of magazines as well, Esoterica and others. And one of my friends, he got quite interested in it, a Christian friend. And he dived really into it, and he sort of again tried to reconcile it with Christianity. But one day he recognized that this is just a cult, you know, that this is a religion from the devil, which is, pushed out with, the esoteric movement. And then there are a couple of names you may recognize. There's Emanuel Swedenborg. He came up with a lot of esoteric stuff. Terms like theosophy, spiritualism, new thought, you know, these are all concepts which came there, started all sort of the 1900s, and then it became bigger and bigger. So some of the stuff which came up was the UFO religions in the 50s, and I thought it was quite interesting. Many, many years ago, I watched a documentary on this where it was all coming from, and it's sort of really bizarre. So they had these contact with these weird, you know, entities, and because they were somehow locked on Venus, apparently, they could only communicate with them via telepathy, and so it just got weirder and weirder as you talk to the people about this. So they'd seen a flying saucer at one stage, and then suddenly they come up with all these things. And you've got other stuff as well. You've got semi-divine entities like angels and ascended masters, which, whisper little stuff into people's minds, and sort of this all comes together. Yeah? And then you've got other stuff as well, completely different direction, which is the Mother Earth, the Gaia story. You know, you have to look after creation, or you have to look after Mother Earth. You have to look after nature. And then we come into, special properties about crystals, that crystals have healing power, and if you place them somewhere, they do certain things. And I was once talking to a lady on a plane, and she was sort of into all this stuff, and she went to Hawaii, and she told me that she wanted to take some stones to Hawaii, and she got a warning from the god of one of the mountains in Hawaii to put those stones back, to put those rocks back, you know, that she's not allowed to take them home. And she didn't. She obviously put them back and didn't take them home. So I was quite shocked when I heard this, and I sort of had a little bit of an argument with her. You know. But people are locked into this philosophy, into this very strange philosophy, which hasn't really got a source as such, where you could say, you know, like in the Catholic Church, you've got the Vatican, and a lot of doctrine comes from the Vatican. Within Protestantism, you've got the Bible. Everything comes from the Bible. And you could say, right, that's the source of, you know, what I'm thinking. But there's nothing like the Bible of New Age or the organization of New Age who tells people what to believe. But it's some sort of very broad consensus of a lot of things which all kind of come together, and anything kind of goes. Yeah. Really, that's what it comes down to. We've got other terms as well. We've got modern paganism and so on. When I sort of, I'm just looking at Wikipedia. I've got the page in front of me, and to pick up some keywords here. Anyway, a lot of it is about harmony, peace, and, you know, control, and leading mankind into the right direction, and so on. And you've got different concepts of building. So you go away from the 90-degree angle, and you have to have round houses and things like that. So a lot of these stuff, and in the 70s it was quite big, you know, when people started living in some hives and things like that. Yeah, so New Age went on. We've got a couple of big names within the New Age movement as well. We've got Benjamin Cream, who is waiting for his Maitreya. Maitreya is going to be the world teacher who is going to lead everybody into a New Age and into something very great and peaceful, and who's going to lift people from the current plane to another plane. You get people who talk about the awakening. Yeah, they need to be awakened. And what it basically means is you have to have this experience. Like in a Christian context, people would say, you know, when you are born again, when you give your life to Christ, it's a fundamental, crucial experience in our life. For these guys, it's the awakening which comes. And it's almost like a parallel, but obviously it comes from a different spirit. It is not Jesus Christ become flesh and, died on the cross, risen on the third day, ascended into heaven and coming back very soon to take us home and to then take rulership over the earth and initiating the millennium, the new millennium. We've got spirit channeling, and then we've got astrology, which again is quite big in New Age, and then we've got the whole healing and alternative medicine thing. And the problem as well is when I look at alternative medicine, there is a lot of medicine which is actually not, you know, occult or problematic. It is just using herbs, you know, God has given us to try and effect, some healing and have the healing power of them. And, that's some of it is okay, but some of it is just, tapping into the occult and getting demon power to try and release some sort of healing. Okay, and maybe people think, oh, I don't care who heals me, but that's one side or the other. Believe you me, whenever you get healing from the other side, there's a cost involved. And the cost very often is spiritual. It's going to put you into some sort of captivity. There's no free meal with the other side. If you come with God, you know, he says in the Bible, you know, come you who have no money and buy milk and bread without money. And that is, I think it's Jeremiah or Isaiah. I would have to check it up again. I think it's Isaiah. But anyway, God gives gifts for free. Why? Because he loves you. The other side, the devil, will always make you pay for everything. Ultimately, he's going to make you pay with your life. He's going to make you pay with your soul and with your eternity, to forfeit your eternity. But let me tell you, you know, even if you've ever entered a deal like that, there's somebody higher, and there's somebody who can set you free, and it doesn't matter what you have done and how far you have dived into the evil side. Jesus can set you free. And if you call upon him, and he says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah? So there's salvation in his name. You just call out to Jesus Christ and ask for your salvation, and he will set you free. Okay, we've got, I'm just looking at this a little bit further. Fairs and festivals. I've got a picture here. There's a little New Age shop, which is all new stuff. Yeah? And you can buy all your trinkets and your idols and your charms and all this stuff and books and media about New Age and crystals. And there's a shop now in London. Yeah? And I've seen a picture here on... it's not quite in London, but it's near to London. It's called St. Albans, which is just north of London. And anyway, it's just sort of making a big thing. So if I mention some other things as well, we've got Stonehenge, which is sort of a big thing for the New Ages. And so within society as well, there are big names. So in America, there's a lady called Marianne Williamson, who campaigned for a seat in the U.S. Congress in 2013 and 14. So there's a move for these New Age people to get in there. And obviously a lot of the zeitgeist stuff, which is going on today, where, again, pretty much anything goes, is getting more and more powerful. And Christian values are pushed to the side, and these values of the New Ages becoming more and more dominant within societies. And this is a problem. I mean, it's always a problem. If you go away from the one who has created you, you're ending up with a lot of trouble. You're ending up in a lot of trouble because you're making yourself very vulnerable. Okay, let's have a look at the time. We need to come to an end. Now, the church is suffering with this as well. We have got Christian yoga in the church. We have got a fake spirituality in the church as well, creeping in, where experience is placed above the Word of God, where it is more important to have some sort of supernatural experience than to abide by the Bible and what the Bible says. And revelation from some spirit. and again, I'm quite crude now, but in some cases it really is a case, is over and above the Word of God. The Bible is no longer necessary because allegedly or apparently some people have got a direct wire to some supernatural revelation, which they believe is God. Now, if it is God, not a problem. But again, it'll always go back to the Word of God. You will always be directed back to the Word of God. If it is not of God, then it's a big problem. And the only way to find out whether it is of God or it's not of God is to take the Bible and to compare whatever's in the Bible to the revelation you have received. And if it's not right, you reject it. If it is right, you can follow it. Yeah? So it's important. We need to test. We need to discern. And this is something which has been neglected within the church. And suddenly anything goes in. We're going to go with a numbers game. We need the numbers to try and make churches working. And then suddenly the means, the end justifies the means. And the means are not necessarily the right means to achieve the end. And the worst thing is you generate a church, or you build up churches where you've got a lot of unredeemed, unregenerated people who have come in under some sort of New Age guise, who have come in because they were told if it's supernatural, it's from God, you know, because you use the right terminology. But in reality, it's just Hinduism. It is just a Far Eastern mythology dressed up as Christianity. And all we have is we've got the Christian dress, but the true nature of whatever is going on is some Eastern mysticism, which is not sourced in God, but is sourced in the other side. And I need to finish now. What we need to do as a church and what we need to do as a Christian war room is to reach out for discernment, to test what is going on. The Bible talks to us to test the spirits and to see whether something is from God. The Bible tells us to test prophecy and to judge it by the Word of God. Paul, in one instance, he even goes as far and he says, because people have gone too far the other way, and this is this pendulum thing, and he says, do not despise prophecy, yeah? Because maybe they've heard it all and they've seen it all, and I sometimes feel the same way. I've heard it all, I've seen it all, and what's it all about, you know? Is it really from God, or is it just delusional, or is it even from somewhere else? Does it originate in a different source? No. We don't know. We need to test this stuff, and we need to weigh this before God. If you get a personal prophecy, and again, you know, a lot of prophecy I've had in my life turn out to be from God 100%. And I don't reject it. I don't neglect it either. I try not to neglect it, but I've also heard a lot of stuff which I'm not so sure. And it's up to you. You need to test it. You need to pray about it. You need to weigh it before God. And most importantly, you need to measure it against the Word of God. That's your ruler. That's your measuring stick. And you need to find out whether it's right or not. You're listening to the Christian War Room. Let's pray. Lord, we pray in these days and in these times, Lord, where the Bible says that we live in perilous times. We pray, Lord, that you will give us the gift of discernment, that we can see whether something is from you or not. We pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes and that you will open our ears. Lord, your word says that faith comes through hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Let us hear the Word of God. Let us have faith that is rooted in you. And we pray, Lord, that we can recognize when there's falsehood and when there's deception right on our doorstep. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.